on Sundays, every practicing Catholic goes to Mass. At least before the pandemic, that's how it was. You go to Mass on Sunday. And yesterday, Sunday, we heard Mark's version of this concern of John that some outsider was casting out demons. So every practicing Catholic yesterday got this lesson about not being narrow or jealous or closed or exclusive about the gospel. Well, today is Monday morning. Most Catholics don't go to Mass, and God doesn't expect them to. Even most Anuen members don't go to Mass, and there are very few people here. Although everyone in Anuen ponders the gospel of the day, and today we get the same message again, John's concern about some outsider doing the work of the Lord, casting out demons, and we get the same message again. Don't prevent people because you think they're outsiders. Don't be jealous. So it's as if the church is saying people who are following the daily liturgy need this message even more because we're getting it again 2 days in a row. It's certainly worth reflecting on because this tendency to exclude others or to close the door on outsiders it runs very deep in human nature. Perhaps yesterday you read the reflection of Pope Francis on this. It's in the Anuan Way. He talks about this tendency he calls a form of self-referentiality. That's a Pope Francis word. Maybe it sounds better in Italian, but it's a pretty good term, self-referentiality. It's hard to say, but the meaning is clear, that we make ourselves the reference point. We make ourselves the criteria for what's right or what's good. And that's a problem, self-referentiality. The Pope says, God's great freedom in giving himself to us represents a challenge and an exhortation to modify our behaviors and our relationships. It's the invitation which Jesus addresses to us today. He calls us not to think according to the categories of friend versus enemy, us versus them, those who are in versus those who are out, mine versus yours, but rather to go beyond, to open our heart in order to be able to recognize God's presence and action even in unusual and unpredictable environments that are not part of our circle. Okay, so you could read that reflection of the Pope against self-referentiality or making ourselves the criterion. The funny thing is, this message in today's gospel is preceded by Jesus giving the apostles an instruction about how to determine who's the greatest. They were arguing about who's the greatest, and he puts a child in front of them. And right after that is when John says, oh, we saw some outsider claiming to be great, and we told him no. So you see the conflict here. The apostles keep getting this self-referentiality in the way. They're arguing about which of them was the greatest. That's a classic example of self-referentiality. I'm the greatest? Who says that? Who walks around? Who argues saying I'm the greatest? Well, no one does that in a blatant way, or maybe children do, but most people wouldn't come up and say, I'm the greatest and you're not. But we act as if we're the greatest in some way. We make ourselves the criteria. Jesus realized the intention of their hearts. He realized that they were putting themselves in the center. He realized that each was thinking of himself as the greatest. And Jesus said, I can't let this go on. This is exactly the opposite of what I'm trying to establish here. These are my apostles, and each of them thinks he's the greatest. Now, it doesn't mean, just to put an aside here, it doesn't mean that everything we think is wrong. No, some of our understanding of what's right and good is correct. The problem is not our understanding of what's right and what's good. The problem is that when we limit that to what we think. We have to open the horizon to God. Jesus' correction here is to put a child in their midst. He could have probably used just about anybody, because the problem of the apostles was that they were focused on themselves. So in order to break that self-focus, that self-referentiality, he could put just about anybody in front of them and say, wait a minute, don't think of yourself, think of this person. This poor person, this sick person, this needy person, this child, this elderly person, anybody. So that it breaks that that box of self-referentiality. But as it is, he chose a child. Whoever receives this child, this one child in my name receives me. The one who is least among all of you is the one who's the greatest. The one who doesn't boast about his greatness is the greatest. The one who forgets whether he's great or not is the greatest. Very important lesson for us. St. Vincent de Paul, today's saint, was great. He was a great saint. But he was great because he emptied himself out in service of the poor. The children, the street people in the streets, the prostitutes, the beggars, the sick. Anybody was greater, in his mind, anybody was greater than he was, Vincent, which made him a very great missionary of the poor. When we think about this a tendency to make ourselves the criterion and the need to break that tendency, we look to Jesus, who is the model of emptying himself for others, the model of love. Jesus reveals God's reference point, or God's criterion, which is love. This comes up in today's first reading. Here's another passage from Zechariah. Remember, Zechariah is speaking to the exiles who have come back and are trying to rebuild the temple, and they're not doing a very good job of it. So Zechariah, in this reading, speaks about God's vision for Jerusalem, the restored Jerusalem. And he says at the beginning, I am intensely jealous for Zion, stirred to jealous wrath for her. That stood out for me, because in yesterday's first reading, Moses said, I don't be jealous for my sake. And here's God saying, I'm jealous. Not only am I jealous, I have a jealous wrath. The problem of jealousy is we make ourselves the criterion. Why is it not a problem for God? Because he is the criterion. God is the standard by which we can judge everything. And that standard is love. So he's speaking about his love for Zion, for Jerusalem, for his people. He's not talking about himself. Well, he is talking about himself because he's love. God is all love. So jealousy in him becomes love. Jealousy in us becomes selfishness. See the difference? So God here in this prophecy of Zechariah reveals that what he has in mind is what is good for his people. I love his description of the renewed Jerusalem, the restored city. He doesn't talk about the temple and the walls and the riches. He talks about the people. Old men and old women can sit in the streets. Boys and girls can play in the streets. And this is a sign of the prosperity of the city. This brings up a memory I have of just a few months ago when Sister Barbara was still alive. Some of you know this because I spoke to you about it. I had made a visit to Pulo, which is a developing area. It's a poor area. I don't remember why I went there. I'm sure it was some pastoral need, probably to bless the dead or something. And when I got there, I was so struck again by the difference between this neighborhood and that neighborhood. This neighborhood, which is a gated community, it's a very boring place to live. There's nobody around, especially during the pandemic. I walk every morning, I might meet 4 people in a half hour. And they're all household domestic workers. They're out there sweeping and watering plants. That's all I meet. I don't meet any old people, I don't meet any children. I drive over to Pulo, and in 1 minute, I see 50 old people, 50 pregnant women, 500 children playing in the streets. I say, well, which one is closer to the image of the restored Jerusalem? Pulo is much closer to heaven, even though it's much poorer. Now, we have to be able to see things with eyes of faith, because there's also, walking in the street, you have to dodge the dogs and their waste and the puddles and the garbage. Yeah, there's a lot of other problems. But at least there are people there, and at least there are children playing in the streets there. Anyway, the reason this comes to mind is because when I went there a few months ago, it struck me that this is what Sister Barbara needs. We didn't know she was about to die, but we could see that she was declining. She was getting... She was slowing down. She was not alert. She wasn't paying attention to anything. And I said, you know what we should do? We should get that wheelchair, put it in the back of the van, and drive over to Pulo and let her see some life. I mean, she can't see the same 3 people all the time. She should see children playing in the streets. She should see the pregnant women. She should see the old men trying to, whatever, they're selling things, and there's old people out there, canes, walking around or looking over their grandchildren. It's a very beautiful thing to see. And I think that could have helped her. It wouldn't have kept her alive, but it would have given her a little vision of the New Jerusalem as we see in today's first reading. Okay, well, now to just make a little conclusion here. You see the problem of self-referentiality. It closes us down to ourselves. And the opposite is to open ourselves to God and everyone. The image of heaven is a communion. God is a communion, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he draws everyone into a communion, a city, a communion of saints, open to everyone who wants to be there. The opposite is to be cut off from everyone, cut off from God and from everyone. Pretty good description of hell, to be cut off from everyone. So, there's no wisdom in making ourselves the criterion. We make God the criterion, and God's criterion is love. Love is for everyone, for God and for everyone. So let's take this lesson. Once again, we heard it yesterday, we're hearing it again today, that this is God's standard, himself, which is love.